Okay? Now, I want to refer back to this this passage in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Where the Lord comes and He clarifies, if you will, the Great Commission. He gives it specific detail, and I want you to notice the order of it. Can we throw up Acts 26:18 up there, Ben? Because I want you to see the progression of this thing, and then I want to back it through something else to try to remember. I'm trying to change your mind about things. We have all been afflicted with church. Now we've got to get afflicted with the kingdom so that we actually understand the role of the church more clearly. But take a look at what this says. And notice, to open their eyes. Stop right there. That is, to cause something to occur so that the spiritual eyes are opened and we're no longer governed by the eyes of the soul, if you will. Now, look at the next little phrase. So that they may turn from darkness to light. Now, inferred here is that when the eyes are open, when the eyes of the spirit man are open, you can see something differently. And in response to that, to move from the dominion of Satan to God. Now notice, nothing has been said yet about forgiveness of sin. Nothing has been said about repentance. It says, first of all, something should be demonstrated in time and space that looks like it doesn't belong here or it came from somewhere else. Remember, Jesus said, behold, the kingdom is at hand. That is, I'm here, the king is here, and I brought my domain with me. And his domain began to change. He began to alter things in time and space. So look at this. From the dominion of Satan to God, when that's done, when their eyes are open so that they can see the difference between darkness and light and make a choice to move from Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. How many of you realize we may have heard that backwards before? Okay? And here's the blemish. Here's the whole blemish. We've been thoroughly preoccupied with the issue of forgiveness of sins without the proper context. The whole issue of forgiveness of sins has to do with embracing the King and His kingdom. And the consequence of embracing the King and His kingdom is the forgiveness of sin. Sin doesn't come first, the kingdom does. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and what? An inheritance. An inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Jesus talking, me. Now then, the next presentation of the Great Commission that you should pay attention to is in the Gospel of Luke. Then, the next one you should pay attention to is in the Gospel of Matthew. Then, I'm sorry, the next one you should, it should be Acts, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. If you will go in that order, by the time you get to Matthew, where we always have started in the past, you'll finally understand what it's talking about. And it's not saying, go preach remission from sins. It's saying, go do this. And the consequence will be the remission of sins. And what are the things you find in root? These signs shall follow them that believe. What do you find in John? When you go from here to John, what do you find? As the Father sent me, so send I you. Whoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. It's representing the King and His kingdom, and it works its way down to, oh, by the way, and if you embrace the King and His kingdom, your sins will be forgiven. So we have totally missed the boat on the whole issue of seeing the kingdom. Now, I'm spending time on healing today for a very specific purpose. Acts 26:18 says to open their eyes. And here's what I've learned. You have to have your eyes opened to see the kingdom. Then your eyes have to be opened to see the things of the kingdom. Do you follow me? How many of you can testify that there have been moments where your eyes just suddenly opened and you saw things differently since you became born again? Okay? That's the kingdom at work. I'm pushing the envelope this morning for a very specific purpose. Jesus came and demonstrated before He spoke. And I want to get to the place where we're demonstrating that draws a crowd and then we speak. Because when we speak, something takes place. In I don't suppose Holly, are you here this morning? I had such a fun time with the Lord last week, and this little gal named Holly, she had been here one time before, and she came forward last Sunday morning saying, ooh, I want to see Jesus heal through me. Really hungry for the things of the Lord. And so she was standing here praying for somebody, I'm not sure exactly what, and I can't recall the exact chronology, but somewhere in the course of her being here praying for someone, I turned and she goes, oh, and I said, what is it? She goes, oh, I've got pain in my chest. I said, well, it's probably a word of knowledge. She said, but everybody's leaving. I said, well, let's see. Who here's got pain in their chest? And Michelle comes running up. Yes, I've got pain in my chest. And Holly looks, oh, this is cool. I said, now, you'll love this. It's just a precious, precious story. Where's Mike Wagner? Oh, they left town this weekend because Mike was up here eavesdropping. And I heard his version of it a couple of nights ago. It's really cute. But anyhow, Michelle comes up and Holly's standing in front of her. And I said to Michelle, now put your hand where the pain is. And she put her hand up here. And I said to Holly, now put your hand on her hand and pray. And she looks at me and says, I'm not sure how to pray. I said, well, then you say what I say. And so I prayed it and she prayed it. And I asked her, do you see anything? She goes, no. And I said, okay, well, you keep praying. And I put a fingertip on her forehead and a fingertip on her tummy. And I said, God, in Jesus' name, open the eyes of her heart to see. And so she said, well, I do see a heart with a big black spot on it. I said, well, that's a good start. I said, so let's play for the black spot. Well, we prayed, and then I asked Michelle, how's it going? She goes, well, the pain moved. And I said, ah, it's a spirit of infirmity. Because, you know, pain doesn't relocate just because you start praying. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's on the run. And if it's on the run, it's something other than pain. So I said, all right, where's it now? It's over here. I said, well, put your hand over here. I said, Holly, put your hand over here. I said, now pray. And she goes, I forgot the prayer. Could you say it for me again? And I said, well, this prayer is a little bit different. I said, now, well, you're praying for her. I'll be praying for you, okay? So I'm telling her what to say as I'm praying for her. And I felt that energy of the Spirit leave my hands. And her arm is right here. You know, you can visit that. I've got a fingertip here. Her arm is out like that. And I felt it come on me, and I felt it run down her arm. And so when her face went, I wasn't surprised. I said, what is it? She goes, something just ran down my arm. I said, I know. Let's ask her if anything happened. She said, anything happened? She says, the pain's gone. And I looked at her and says, she goes, oh, mine's gone too. Ah! They hung in there, you know, and they're crying and laughing. Now, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Now, I love that, all right? I love that whole, it might you up! You know, just seeing God's people get their eyes open about the reality of the eternal power of the King's domain. How many of you know that girl's out there kind of doing this as we, oh yeah, bring them on, I'll pray for them, uh-huh, I'm ready. Yeah, found out she'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit 2 weeks ago. She said, how can I learn more about this? How is that? Well, there's the website. You can come here. There's some books you can read. You know, but you need to be in the presence. Be with those who got it and you can get it. There were other stories. I forget what they are in the moment. But she got her eyes opened. She saw something she had not seen before. Now, the reference I made to Matthew 4, Matthew 5 is an important reference. Now I want to go after your brain in another way. I want to look at Isaiah Chapter 9, verse 6. I notice, to my chagrin, most of you aren't taking notes these days, which means most of you aren't getting this stuff, which means it won't help you a lot, but I'm going to stay after it. You may need to go to the website, start listening and taking notes, because we don't change your mind by just sitting there listening. Your mind does not get renewed by reading words off of a screen, nor does it get renewed by sitting there reading your Bible at home. It gets renewed when you obey the command. Because in the moment of obedience, you find something. Now in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, here's your Christmas card. So skip the Christmas card. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of what? Peace. Now listen. Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and what? Peace. The Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Now, I learned something recently that just kind of, well, it really opened my eyes because I saw it for the very first time in my life. Do you know what the word peace actually means? We say, well, shalom, peace be with you. Yeah, but do you know what it actually means? To be the Prince of Peace and to be the one whose peace shall not end. It means to destroy the authority that establishes disorder. Think about that. To destroy the authority that establishes disorder. Who do you suppose that might be? Who has spent all of his time since he seduced man and woman establishing disorder? Jesus went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the... For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the... Who is it that establishes disorder? Who is it that comes to destroy the authority that establishes disorder? And who has Jesus sent with his authority and power to destroy the authority that establishes disorder? Now let me ask you something. Is a brain tumor disorder? Who was supposed to deal with that? Those who have the authority to destroy the authority that establishes disorder. Are you listening? Are you getting this? We're talking about the King having come and said, "My domain is at hand." How far away is at hand? Is your pen at hand? Is your Bible at hand? Is your chair at hand? It is right here, right now. Connect the dots. How did he say we are to pray? Your kingdom come where? Here. And your will where? Here. Now, where is the here we start with? Here. Once we receive the eternal, invisible kingdom within us, where is the King taking up residence? Right here. And where does he want to establish his peace? Right here. Where does he want to demonstrate his authority and power? Right here. Now, is it supposed to leak out? Yes. There's a little... Listen, when you start to see this, you can't not see it. When you put those lenses on and view the Scripture, take a look at every victory you've ever had in your life, you see every distress known to men, you cannot but see this. That you have been commissioned by the King as his ambassador. And he fully backs up his ambassador. Do you remember when David sent a delegation to another king and they shaved their heads and cut their beards off and sent them home in shame? And David said, "Go hide, take yourselves and put yourselves away until your hair grows back." What did the king do? He got up off his throne, he marshaled his army, he went and destroyed those people. Why? Because to do it to the ambassador is to do it to the king. Jesus says, "Those who receive you, receive me. Those who reject you, reject me." Why? Because he is fully vested in you as his ambassador. You go to speak his word. He backs up his word with his authority and his power because he sent you for that very end. That It is, as it were, that God Himself was entreating through you to them be reconciled to God, not holding their transgressions against them. The news we have is this, that you have been under the dominion of darkness, the dominion of Satan, but the kingdom of light wants to open your eyes, and if you will respond to that declaration, remission of sins will come. You have been authorized to say it and show it. Who's starting to believe? There's three, there's five, there's nine. Okay, but hell, give me this. Now, everything in religion has mitigated against this truth. You even have difficulty with it. You even have difficulty with it. Listen to this. As the Father sent me, so send I you. And whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. How many of you are ready to stop right there and say, oh, not me? Who can forgive sins but God? If God sends you as His ambassador with that message, guess what? He backs it up when you say it. Baptist church is looking good this morning, isn't it? Are you following this? I know it's a reach for you. But it's in reach. God has put it within reach for us to understand these things. Because He has given to us the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Now then, here's an example. In Acts 14:8, at Lystra, listen to this carefully. Paul is preaching at Lystra. And at Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his eyes on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, he said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. Now look at this carefully. I want you to notice the detail with which the Scripture documents the absolute hopelessness of this situation. Here was a man in the crowd, and it says he was a man crippled in his feet. He couldn't stand because he had no strength in his feet. He was crippled. How long? Lame from his mother's womb. Oh, that's bad. Let me know that's bad. When you come out and they don't work, they never do work. Lame from his mother's womb. How bad was it? Well, he had never walked. How many of you know he wasn't expecting to walk? You get that? Nobody expected. Hey, look, he was born a cripple. In that theology, somebody in his household sinned. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be thus and so? All right? But this man sitting there heard something. What do you suppose he heard? You don't have to guess. What did Paul go around preaching? He preached the kingdom of God wherever he went. He preached the king's domain. He didn't have any other message. Go read it with those lenses on and you see everything he does is about establishing the order of the kingdom. And he demonstrates kingdom power. So, what do you suppose happened to the man? Did his eyes get opened? Ask yourself this now. Now, this man has been living his entire life without any absolute hope. He may have dreamed about what it might mean to walk to the market himself, but do you think he had hope to be healed? Not until somebody came and began to declare the kingdom, and then I'm telling you, his eyes were opened and he saw the kingdom of light. And it's not something Paul did, it's what the Holy Spirit did in what Paul was doing. And Paul's eyes were trained to see, and he looked at him, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, he just connected with it. The man had heard something, and whew,
And he said, you got it. You got it. Get up and walk. And think about it now. This guy had never walked in his life. He knew better than to try to get up. What happened to that moment that would make him spring up? This is what we handle. We establish it with the declaration and God confirms it. God demonstrates His power and then we tell what that was. It is the kingdom. It's the domain of the kingdom. And I'm trying to quit using the kingdom of God and rather the domain of the king. Why? Because the kingdom of God sounds like it's out there somewhere. But where's the domain of the king? Right here. It's right where you are. And if we ever lay hold of what it means to be sons of God, to be commissioned by our Father to represent Him in time and space, to administrate the grace, the power, and the authority of His kingdom, your life is ruined. You will not be the same. The testimony. How are we doing? We're doing good. The testimony. Would it be possible to contrive a frame of reference, to actually apprehend a way of looking at that story about Lystra and say that the man heard a testimony? Would that be possible? Okay. Let's see. Who are all the knee guys? Here's one, and here's one, and here's one. Madam Hat. Would you come join my ministry team this morning? Robert, would you come join the ministry team? Now, I want the two of you to team up here. Let's see. Alexia, you come be their guide, okay? I don't want them stumbling over one another. Now, you have a testimony of relief in your knee. You have a testimony of relief from pain in yours. Do you have faith that God would relieve pain in knees? Do you? Guess what? There's one, and there's one. Go over there and let God release pain from their life through your hands. Alexia will show you the ropes. Now, let me ask you something. Do you believe that that will occur? Look what Jesus just did in a matter of a few minutes. He took one word of knowledge and He made two ministers. These two ministers are going to pray for three people. Those three people are going to be healed. How many did He train inside 1 hour? Five ministers. Do you think that God knows how to run His kingdom? Imagine that. How many of you think they need more qualifications? They need something other than just the anointing, just faith. It's a good thing you're not raising your hands because I can come after you with this one. Jesus crosses the sea and gets to the shore. And the next representative of Jesus Christ, Son of God, signs and wonders, miracles, comes crying out of the tombs naked. This is a recruitment visit for new preachers. And the first and only candidate he gets that day is demonized, cuts himself with stones. This guy's really scarred, you understand? And he's dirty, you know. He's not what you would consider a prime candidate. So what happens? The people come out and they find him clothed and in his right mind, and they're terrified. Now, they were fine when he was living in the tombs like a crazy man. But clothed and in his right mind, whoa, something's going on here. Demons we understand, this we don't understand. Now, the guy says, look, don't leave me here. Let me go with you. And what does Jesus say to him? No, you stay here. And you tell what great things God has done for you. Now, let me ask you something. He's just been made head of the outreach ministries in the name escapes me. Where were they? Speak up, Ed. That's not the right word. That whole region. He's left in charge of that whole region. Now, how long has he been saved? Okay. How many messages has he got? One. I'm the crazy guy that lived in the cemetery, and I'm in my right mind now, and he did it. And what's the fruit of that when Jesus returns to Gennesaret? What's the fruit? The whole place turns out to greet him, and they implore him to stay several days. Does God know how to operate his kingdom? Absolutely he does. Okay? Now, I'm showing you something in time and space here. This is real stuff. How many of you know there are lots of people in this town with bum legs? Lots of them. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were sitting over at Starbucks with your buddy and in limped one? Wouldn't it be something? And you said, hey, look, they're just like we were. Hey, let me buy your coffee and not let me tell you a story, you know? No, really, it's okay. We're not trying to sell you Amway. Come on. I shouldn't pick on Amway or any of them. But you know how people are. Wait, oh, no, I'll buy my own car. No, really, really. All I want you to do is give me 4 minutes out of your life. I'll buy you a $4 cup of coffee for 4 minutes out of your life. That's only $1 a minute. I know it's not the best wages in the world, but think about it. $60 an hour. Come on. And then you say, you know, I saw you limp in here, and I just felt stirred to tell you my story. You know, just yesterday, we'll assume it's tomorrow, just yesterday, I was in this meeting, and would you mind if we prayed for you? Well, no, go ahead. Presto. Now we got three of them there, waiting for the next person to limp in. Is this not simple? Once we see it, it's the power of the testimony. Now, when you consider the word testimony, it runs in several streams. For instance, the tablets inscribed with the Mosaic law were called the testimony. The Ark of the Covenant was called the testimony. You remember all that stuff? Y'all read about that someplace, I'm sure. A divine decree attested to in Scripture is called a testimony. A firsthand authentication of a fact is called a testimony. An outward sign is called a testimony. A personal public proclamation of a religious experience is also called a testimony. Now let me ask you something. How are we doing over here? How are we doing over here? Better? I won't done. Hit it again. What did Jesus do when he prayed for somebody and they weren't healed the first time? He prayed for him again. Pete? Yeah. Praise God. Pain, how many of gone is good? When the pain is gone, that is good. It's like Robert talking a while ago about, you know, she touched him and his the heating pad fell on his knees. You know, it felt like a heating pad. How many know heat is good? Say that heat is good. That's right. Hot is better. But they're both good. Okay? Now, when you speak a word of testimony, something happens in the atmosphere. Now, why is that? Let's think about this. The Scripture says in Revelation 19:10 that the testimony, the spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus. Consequently, the testimony of Jesus is what? Is the spirit of prophecy. Now, what is significant about that? Here's the thing that's significant about it. When the Lord speaks something, it never is so limited in its ability that it can only perform itself one time. You follow me? Here's a good illustration of it. I know this story to be true. A friend of mine is on a television broadcast, and he has a word of knowledge
about a woman out there in Dewarland in a red robe, laying in bed with crippling arthritis. God is healing you right now. Now, typical run-of-the-mill word of knowledge, you're all familiar with that. Guess what? Six women in red robes, laying in bed with crippling arthritis, called in to the station to report they'd been healed. Guess what? When the rerun of that program played some months later, the station gets calls from the rerun. Because out there in Dewarland, there's some more ladies in red robes. They must make a lot of those things, wouldn't you know? Now, how is that possible? How is it possible? Because the testimony of Jesus is the breath. You understand me? It carries with it the ability to perform itself again and again and again. So that when you tell the testimony, it has the power out there to hit somebody and make something stand up inside of them that says, I want that too. Is that not cool or what? That's why it's so important that you open your mouth and give your testimony. Because it is not just for you. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but I just want to point out something. I asked you earlier, how many of you have pain in the knee? We had two hands raised. Those two get healed. And suddenly four more saying, well, you know, now that he's actually doing something. That's the power of the testimony. I want to show it to you. Let's shut down the music, kill these lights, play the video. We've got about 7 minutes of a video that talks about this principle of the power of the testimony. And the fellow who is speaking is Bill Johnson. This is an excerpt from one of those video things from the conference last month that I'm going to run the weekend of September the 9th, I think it is. Friday night and Saturday, we're going to present the Bill Johnson, Bobby Connor connection in this thing. But listen to this story. Now, don't get lost in the details. Can we kill those lights up there too? Don't get lost. Don't lose the details, because this is a powerful example of what we're talking about. We've seen it in microcosm this morning. Yes. Bring the volume up a little.
Part of my calf muscle atrophied and withdrew up into the leg. And she said, if God did that for her, certainly he would. And I'm liking that. That was she caught that thing of the power of the report of God's nature and his covenant with people. So anyway, I said, Helen, come back here. I said, freely you've received, freely give. So Helen and the pastor's wife laid hands on her. And before they're up, God reattached completely the Achilles tendon. Specifically, they saw the muscle grow back right in front of their eyes. A second lady came up who had been kicked by a horse, and it had destroyed a part of the calf muscle, and in its place was a growth. So now the two that have been healed, and the pastor's wife lay hands on her, they watch the growth dissolve, and they watch the muscle form before their eyes. Another lady came up. I'm serious. All in one meeting. It's like everyone in Minnesota that was missing a calf muscle was in the room that night, you know. It wasn't that big of a crowd either, you know. It's like they just congregated. I feel like the Lord just wanted to paint a picture that we would never forget. And so they laid hands on her. I forget what the problem was, but again, it was a missing part of the calf muscle. It grew back before their eyes. So I flew from there. Part of our team flew. We usually take we have a school of ministry where we train people in signs and wonders. And we sent part of our team back to California, and then part of them went on with me to Tennessee, where another group from California joined me. Anyway, I'm sharing the story of these now four ladies in 24 hours that God had done a creative miracle in that muscle. In the room, whenever we share this stuff, we're kind of fishing. We're trying to see what God is going to put targets. And so I shared the thing about the calf muscle, and there was a medical doctor in the room that had broken his leg 1 year earlier. And in the healing process, he was still in for 1 year, and the calf muscle had atrophied. And so he identified himself with to pray, probably 20 minutes they spent with him, and we're praying for all kinds of folks. And so at the end of that, I said, what's going on? All the pain was gone. All the movement was back. And I said, how's the calf muscle? Because that's what I was really interested in. He said, I can feel my skin stretching. Is that bizarre? Just in giving and declaring, here's the big deal, is it is our privilege to declare who He is. He's the one who backs it up. You know, it's no sweat on, you know, it's not by some, you know, intense spiritual effort that we get something to happen. Simply giving Him a target, you know. It's the big deal in miracles is He's already made the commitment to do it. We just have to live a life that opens room for Him to invade, that gives Him the invitation to come and do what He does, be who He is. I fly home after those days of meeting, and on Sunday morning I thought, man, I got to share the story because this is just too weird. Four women and one man get creative miracles in the morning. Unknown to me, there's a woman in the room. Broke her leg 1 year earlier. She has restricted movement. She has pain in the leg. She has atrophy of the calf muscle. This is strange to me. This may be normal for you. This is strange for me. As I'm talking, her leg gets hot. All the pain leaves and the muscle grows back. Just as we're talking. Man, I think that's awesome. I can't talk this long on all these. I'm just doing it now because I think it's a good thing to teach on. You got that? You might as well jump in up here. Yeah. You're from Minnesota. Your calf muscle? Well, get out and run.
It was all black, and there was a very big dent. Look, it's gone.
Yay, God! Yeah! Well, I think you get the point. Isn't that cool? It's so fun how he works, you know.
Thank you. That's good, Ben. I think you get the point. Now, what did you see take place? As it was spoken. Why? Because the Spirit and the testimony, it has prophetic stuff. It is important that we speak what God has done for us, because it awakens in others the faith that He will do it for them. Because these things are carried on the wind of His Spirit. And they provoke things. Yes, Mary.
This is my granddaughter, Erica. Earlier, she was not complaining about her eyes. She went down with the children, and she came back up. There is something wrong with her eye. One of her older sisters had a little infection in her eye, which is getting better. But this one is now experiencing it. Is there anybody here that needs some help? Because I tried, and I'm a little unsure what I'm doing.
Okie dokie. Somebody jump. What? Good. Pray. Let's have God heal the eye. Well, Jesus can do this. Jesus can do this. And He's willing to do this. Yeah, He's the one that says, "Let the little children come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of God." Lord, we release that healing virtue in her eye right now. We just thank You, even now. Isn't this just delightful? No stress, no strain. His rest, His grace. How are we doing over here? What? Progress is good. When you have a good report, give me a good report. Okay? Now then, one of the things that excites me about what you just saw is that we're just standing there telling stories about the character of God. The character of God. I'm reaching a place of indignation on some things. My indignation gets really lit when somebody lies against the nature of God. Consider this. Jesus says that all form of sin shall be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven. What was the blasphemy that they did? They called what God was doing demonic. Do you remember? They lied against the nature and person of God. Now, when we get to say the truth about His nature, that He is the healing God, we do, in fact, make room for Him to come in. How many know we made room for God to come in today? These people who have been healed could have gone home not healed. But why will they go home healed? Because we made room for God. How many of you know it's risky? How many of you know it's risky? You'll change your mind. You'll find out it's fun. Brag on Him. Say how wonderful He is. Tell people what He said He would do. And then give Him opportunity to do it. Is that good? How's that knee, Mama? You're good. Good to go? Knees healed. Is that good? That's good. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm sorry? Both knees. Both knees are good. Yep. No point in limping on one if you can get them both fixed, right? I'm for fixing both of them. How are we doing over there, Pat? Well, tell me. Tell me a good report. Shoulders all better? 4 or 5 months and now it works. Well, that's good. I'm all for it working for 4 or 5 months. How about you? Praise the Lord. What's it going to take to get more than a golf clap? You know, never, ever. I don't care if it happens every day. Never, ever, take for granted the mercy of God in manifesting His power and healing someone. It is so wonderful that the Lord would come through your hands and touch another human being. The fact that the invisible realm would come manifest itself through you and change the physical circumstance of somebody's life, however small, whether it's an eye infection or a wart or a knee that wouldn't work or a leg that had lost, never let the awe and joy and thrill of seeing Daddy do something like that leave you. Never take for granted. Never shrug your shoulders and say, "Oh, it's just not, I'm just another resurrection." I mean, this, think about it. Think how impoverished we were when we didn't know. Have your eyes been opened today? He's opened our eyes. Does this house have faith for knees? Do we? Yeah, how about necks and shoulders? No? How about 5 years ago? Did you have it then? No, you didn't. Now you do. Mary didn't. Now she does. Woo! Oh, never wash that hand again. Woo! Ah. See, and then we need to tell people about it. Danny, come up here and tell people about it. Danny, where'd you go? No, he's in the lobby. Bring him in here. I got to watch Danny. He'll tell you his life story to get to a 2-minute testimony. Daniel, my friend, come here. I do not want your life story. I want you to tell us what was wrong with the shoulder and what happened when they prayed for it.
I'll be brief.
No, you're not.
Okay, I'll hurry up. About 4 months ago, my March time frame, a tree limb fell out of one of the trees I was cutting down, and it hit my shoulder. It was about, I'd say 15 feet long, about that big around. It was oak. It hurt. My arm swole up. So anyway, make a long story short, this weekend I'm working, doing manual labor, and it started bothering me again. I said, "Lord, I'm tired of this. I want this healed." And when he said someone's left shoulder, that was me. I got up there and waited a very long time, but the Lord touched me, and it feels good. You're worth the wait. I'm going to go home and chop down a tree.
Now, let's put really long time in perspective. I've sat longer than that waiting for the receptionist to ask me for my insurance card, which is way before I get to the doctor. Okay? Now then, now I'm fishing for something here. Okay? Who else has problem in their left shoulder? You have the right shoulder. Today? Well, here, testify. Looks like we got faith for both shoulders.
Amen. I've had a rotator cuff injury for 30 years, ever since I was in college. I've had serious problems in my shoulder, and it comes and goes. It comes out of the socket and goes back in. And I just came up and was prayed. And yesterday I was painting all day, and my shoulder was really aching this morning. And they prayed, and that ache is gone. I mean, I feel much, much better. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right, now I'll ask again, and don't be embarrassed about this. I know people are reluctant to be made guinea pigs of, but if you have trouble in your left shoulder or your right shoulder and you've not responded thus far, would you like to now? All the shoulders in the house are healed? It's causing a numbing? Where's Danny? All right, Tim, pray for her. The two of you, pray for her. She what? Her shoulder hurts? Who? All right, now let's get the two who've been healed in their shoulders praying for the two who've got pain in their shoulders. Can you connect those dots? All right. Now, is there anybody else that needs prayer for healing that's in the house today and would like to have it? All right, come. Come on. Come on. Now, so that they don't have to wait a really, really long time, Eric and Marilyn and Russ, okay, I tell you what, you start praying and let's see if you get healed while you pray. Okay, that sometimes happens. Russ, who else is in the training crew in this whole healing deal here? Yes, thank you. I don't see you all, but I know you're out there. Come on up and start praying for these guys. And let's, who? Michelle, all right, get her up here. I should have asked her, any more words of knowledge about stuff for today among you prophetic folks? Who does? Madette, what you got? Okay. All right, let's share them. Ah, yes, Maria, get up here and pray. Now, I want to submit to those of you who are still capable of hearing that one of the things that we're doing today is showing the domain of the King. All right? Now, this is the house where we learn it. This is not the only place it should be demonstrated. Jesus taught in the synagogue, but He also taught outside. Paul taught in the synagogue. He also taught in the marketplace. Now, what is it that we should be teaching? The explanation of what God just did. Go out there and do it, and then explain what happened. Bill's got some great, great stories about such things. You'll love the testimony of the words of knowledge for healing on aisle 10 in the supermarket. It's a great story. But he's full of these kinds of stories because they run the Bethel School of the Miraculous. And so they have people crisscrossing the city and the nation now, bringing home the spoils of the kingdom of darkness, taking things captive. Wanda, you got something? Okay, we have a body check word of knowledge about difficulty breathing. Somebody here is having difficulty in their lungs. Who is that? Okay, come on up here, Ron. This young lady here wants to pray for you. Okay. Manifesting kingdom power gives us the audience to declare the kingdom message. And it ought not always be the other way around. I'm fine with that because Paul says we purpose to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified so that we may see demonstrations of spirit and power. But we also see readily apparent in the scriptures that God does something, He manifests His power, and then the testimony is to explain what the people just saw. That's how their eyes are opened. That's when they decide to abandon the kingdom of darkness. That's when you administer repentance. All right, so if you have a prayer need, you come this way. The rest of you are just going to release. I understand they got a nice spread downstairs. Y'all go fellowship. I'll try to catch up with you in a little while. God bless you. You are dismissed. Oh, by the way, the Infinite Horizons School of Ministry has got their table downstairs. You guys should be signing up for those courses this fall. Let's get that information out of their books into your spirit. They'll be down there to talk to you about it.